Well, there's no delicate way to put this. On Monday Night Football this week, the Detroit Lions got totally screwed by two bad calls.
But again, that is a terrible call. That's twice on Trey Flowers in crucial situations that the refs have blown the call.
And Anders, your fellow Michiganders have not taken this lying down. Apparently, fans in Detroit have already bought billboards with refs in cheese heads.
Yeah, I mean, Lions fans have pretty low expectations at this point, but, you know, still get riled up at a bad call.
Fair.
But beyond that, there's a growing feeling within the NFL now that this is a pattern. Week in and week out, refs are missing really important calls.
They're missing calls. They're making up calls that don't exist. They're calling people for hands to the face when there are no hands to the face.
And that first hands to the face.
And once again, the NFL had to come out with its tail between its legs and admit they got the call wrong.
So today, we're going to speak with The Athletic's Lindsey Jones about what is up with the refs in the NFL. Why are they missing so many calls? And what, if anything, can be done about it? From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Kelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson.
It's Thursday, October 17th, and this is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
You gotta go faster, faster!
The failures of the past don't matter because we've got this guy.
I have never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Hey, Lindsey, it's Anders. How are you?
Very good. I'm looking forward to the Thursday night game between the Broncos and the Chiefs, and I'm hoping that it will just be a good, clean football game, and we won't it won't be overshadowed by officiating like so many of the other games have been.
Yeah. Well, great segue. So we're here today to talk about what is going on with referees in the NFL. So first of all, can you just take us back to Monday night, this game between the Packers and the Lions?
They're just pushing the tackles, trying to cave the pocket in.
Good job by John Atkins.
So the Lions had really been dominating this Monday Night Football game against the Packers. They were up by 9 points early in the fourth quarter, but Aaron Rodgers, he's got the ball, he's driving. But there's a huge third down play, and the Lions come up and they sack Aaron Rodgers. But what do you see? There's a flag on the field.
Illegal use of hands, hands to the face, defense, number 90. 5-yard penalty from the previous spot. First down, Green Bay.
That's a first down.
Trey Flowers, the defensive end from the Lions, has been called for illegal hands to the face that gave the Packers a first down. But the replay showed that Trey Flowers didn't actually get his hands up into David Bakhtiari's face.
Let's take a look at number 90, Trey Flowers, and watch where he puts his hands and see if he gets him to the face there. Right now, he's on the shoulder pad. He's still on the shoulder pad. I'm trying to figure out, when does he actually put hands to the face there?
But what happened is that they gave the Packers a first down. Three plays later, Aaron Rodgers throws a beautiful touchdown pass.
Rodgers, same side. And this time, it's in the hands of Lazard. Incredible play. 35-yard touchdown.
And then the game gets really close.
So that's sort of act one of the drama. Now take us to act two.
There's less than 2 minutes left in the game, and the Packers once again are driving. Once again, it's a third down, and Trey Flowers is called once again for illegal hands to the face against David Bakhtiari.
Illegal use of hands, hands to the face, defense, number 90. 5-yard penalty from the previous spot. First down, Green Bay.
And that's a dagger for Matt Patricia and company.
The Packers are able to keep the ball and go on and kick a much shorter field goal.
And there it is. Walk it off and win it. for Mason Crosby.
And can I just say that as someone who grew up cheering for the Detroit Lions in Michigan, that is like the most Detroit ending to a football game ever.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the Lions fans have a reason to believe that they're cursed, or that the NFL might somehow be working against them, because, you know, season after season, there's always some sort of situation like this.
So what was the response after these blown calls?
Yeah, so there was kind of a lot of media response.
We as players, the coaches, and even the fans in America, if we can see it, the officials should be able to see that. And I think that's why we're all a little bit disgruntled about how the game is being officiated, and some of the plays are costing teams games with the wrong calls.
Booger McFarland, the color analyst on the Monday Night Football broadcast, was very adamant that this was a kind of a travesty. It was one of probably Booger McFarland's best moments as a commentator, because he came out very strongly against the officials in that game and officiating as a whole.
And just to put this in perspective, Barry Sanders, the legendary former running back for the Lions, who is not exactly a hothead or someone who weighs into public debates about things like this, even sent a tweet out.
Tweeting, quote, "That is sickening. The NFL needs a way to prevent that from happening. Two phantom hands to the face calls really hurt us tonight. Yes, we could have scored TDs, but the Lions played too well to have the game end this way."
You know, he's certainly not alone, but, you know, when we see prominent former players that come out and say that these things are a travesty, maybe those things are going to carry a little bit more weight than when it's, you know, just kind of everyday fans complaining on Twitter.
Right. And, you know, all of this feels like just the latest in a series of controversies around bad referee calls in the NFL. It seems like we're reaching a fever pitch here in terms of fan frustration with referees in the NFL.
Last night was truly the breaking point. This truly is broken now, because Blakeman and his crew went from officiating that game to ruining the game.
I mean, I don't think this is worse than it was after the NFC Championship game last year. I mean, that was by far the pinnacle for me of outrage. But what we're seeing is that this is happening time and time again, and it's a different rule. It's a different non-call that's happening each time that's kicking this off.
So there's definitely the feeling that NFL refs keep blowing it and costing teams games. But is the perception in line with the reality? Like, what does the data show about how referees are performing so far this year?
Well, it's tough. They're not very transparent about it. So inside the league office, they go through and they grade every officiating crew week by week, just like players are graded, but they don't make that information available to the public. They're very quiet about it. And, you know, what the league will say, what the referees will say, is that officiating is not worse now. They're just put in a much more difficult situation, that there's a lot of things working against them. But the thing is that, yes, you know, we do have more technology available. You know, fans are better educated about the rules, I think, than ever. Media is certainly better educated about the rules than they ever have been before. So any appearance of ineptitude is going to seem increasingly worse for the NFL.
Right. And so the guys who were made out to be the villains in all of this are the referees. And it's, of course, fair to question why they're missing so many big calls. But, you know, we also forget that these are real human beings. And for most of them, this isn't the only thing that they do.
Most of them have just regular kind of 9-to-5 jobs that they go back to during the week. Some guys are teachers. We have lawyers. A lot of guys work in sales, finance, insurance. There's a middle school principal who is also an NFL referee or an NFL official, excuse me. And, you know, what exactly his job is like showing back up at his school in Minnesota on Monday mornings.
So for most NFL refs, this is not a full-time job. It's kind of like their side hustle.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would argue that they put in full-time hours, but that they also have other careers outside of officiating.
Yeah. And why is that? I mean, if it is a 40-hour-a-week job, why doesn't the NFL just make refs full-time employees and have that be all that they do?
Well, this has been something that has been a major point of contention, a big item of debate, you know, really going back to 2012, when the last labor agreement was signed and there was actually a lockout. And there were a lot of people in the NFL who wanted to have full-time refs, and it was the NFL Referees Association that kind of pushed back on that.
So just that I'm clear on this, the league wanted the referees to be full-time employees, but the referees did not want this to be their only full-time job. They wanted to have the freedom to do other work as well?
Yeah, and I think there's also a belief that if they are full-time referees, is there enough work to be done 12 months out of the year for that to be their only job?
How much do NFL refs get paid?
They're paid very well. This year, the average salary is about $205,000, but the expectation is the salaries are going to rise in 2020 when the new bargaining agreement takes effect.
The Lead is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring can be a painfully slow process. When Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he did the smart thing and switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how he found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/lead. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LEAD. ZipRecruiter.com/lead. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
One of the things that's being talked about a lot right now is the fact that some referees are being given really big games to ref when they don't yet have a ton of experience. Is that a fair criticism?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. And I think another issue that the NFL is going through right now is that there's been massive turnover. They've lost 7 referees in the past 2 years to retirement. So that sort of turnover, you're seeing a lot of new crews being kind of mishmashed together where, you know, you're working on communication. And then, yeah, I mean, it's the difference where somebody had been in a job for, you know, 20, 25 years have been calling games as opposed to somebody who's been doing it for 5 years. So, you know, I think that they're working with the guys that they have, but the turnover and the retirements in recent years has really left a pretty big void in the officiating ranks right now.
And why has there been so much turnover? Why are so many refs leaving?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. You know, there were some who were kind of aging out, had reached retirement age, and that was a big part of it. But the other thing that's been very interesting, this trend that's been developing, is that a lot of referees recently have left for broadcasting jobs.
So, Mike Pereira, it's big, as Daryl said, once it's ruled one way, unless it's over the top, obvious, clear, and all that, right, Mike, then they're not going to change it.
Yeah, you know, Chris, I'm thinking we shouldn't hear, I think, somewhat, maybe, all those words. By the way, usually that stands after that, which you're right. Either way,
it used to just be Mike Pereira at Fox. He was the first one who left the ranks of officials. He was actually the VP of officiating for the NFL, but who left and went into broadcasting to become a rules expert. But now it's been happening for every network. So you're not going to watch an NFL broadcast right now without having a former NFL official or referee who's on that broadcast. And, you know, some of the most respected, longest tenured referees have very recently left their on-field jobs to take games in the booth.
And is that because they make more money in the booth?
Yeah. So I think the contracts are very lucrative and it's also a 2 or 3 day a week job. That's a significantly different work week and stress level of a job sitting up in the booth than it is, you know, putting in the 40 hours a week to work as an NFL referee.
Yeah, that sounds way better.
Oh, absolutely. The stakes are a lot lower, too. You know, he gets to use his expertise to talk about what he's seeing on the field. But if he's wrong, he's wrong. It's not like, you know, if you're the official in the game who was wrong, then there's really kind of significant stakes to your credibility and stuff. But now these guys, they get to get in there. They're rules experts. They're really enhancing the quality of these broadcasts. So that is another big reason why I think we're seeing these kind of officiating challenges is that there is at some point significantly more officiating experience in the broadcast booth than the guy who's actually calling the game on the field.
You know, one big talking point in the NFL right now is gambling. Do you think that the NFL is under extra pressure to have its referees making the correct calls to avoid the appearance of games perhaps being tainted by gambling?
I mean, the credibility issue is kind of at the heart of all of this. You know, the NFL has resisted, has for so long pushed back against any sort of association with gambling. And it's something that they can't ignore anymore because it's becoming legal in so many states now. They have to avoid any sort of connection to these conspiracy theories that games are going to be fixed. So, you know, I don't know exactly if it's expanding replay or whatever it is, but it is certainly a concern and it's something that they're going to have to deal with. And, you know, the lack of transparency, the lack of, you know, really being upfront about what these officials are seeing, I don't think it's helping. I think if anything, now they need to be more proactive in addressing what the rules are, making the officials themselves more accountable and accessible to talk about what's happening in these big calls to avoid any of those issues where you could even have a question of if a game was fixed.
And so, Lindsay, in the wake of this latest controversy with the Lions and the Packers, what is the path forward for the NFL? How does it restore the credibility of its refereeing?
And that's the million-dollar question right now, because, and I'm sure that's what they're talking a lot about right now at the league meetings in South Florida right now, is because, you know, I don't think there is one clear way to fix this, because the technology is only getting better. The replay angles are only getting better that we can see at home. But, you know, what I think really needs to happen is that the league has been making too many knee-jerk rule change reactions, where really what they need to do is maybe do some simplifying instead of adding more things to the plates of these referees and simplify some of these rules. I also think that they're going to need to look really closely at the rule change that they made with the pass interference rule last offseason. They're going to need to re-examine that this year. It doesn't look like it's been working, and probably rescind that or figure out a better way to make it so that it will work for coaches and players and referees as a whole.
Well, Lindsay, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
You can hear Lindsay Jones's podcast, the NFL Power Rankings podcast, on theathletic.com.
Here are some other stories we're following at The Lead. Joe Maddon is the new manager of the Los Angeles Angels. Maddon, who led the Cubs to their first World Series title in 108 years, takes over during one of the darkest periods in Angels history, with the ongoing investigation into the death of Tyler Skaggs. The Athletic's Ken Rosenthal writes that the hiring of Maddon and his upbeat personality gives the team a sliver of sunshine that it sorely needs.
Game 4 of the ALCS between the Yankees and the Astros is tonight after yesterday's game was rained out. Yankees pitcher Masahiro Tanaka faces off against Houston's Zach Greinke, who has struggled in two postseason starts.
And in one of the most drastic penalty situations the golf world has ever seen, senior LPGA player Leanne Walker was forced to take 58 penalty strokes and ended up going 73 over par in two rounds of play. Walker says she wasn't aware of a rule change involving her caddy and takes full blame for her comical score, saying, quote, "I think I may have made the Guinness Book of World Records."
That is amazing. 58 strokes?
58 strokes.
From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Kelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. See you tomorrow.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.